I will turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 onwards. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment and the truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." In the Message Bible it says very beautifully, "Take a good look at my servant." And he is talking about Jesus, brothers and sisters. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit often wants to tell us. Take a good look at Jesus. And I really believe, as we sing in that song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of the earth will become strangely dim." You know, the more we are gripped by Jesus, His glory, you'll find you're drawn away from the world. And, you know, in Hebrews it's written, God spoke to us in the early times through the prophets, but now He's spoken to us through His Son. And I believe in the New Testament, God wants us believers to be so taken up with Jesus. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And I believe it's our calling and it's our privilege to show forth the glory of Jesus to one another. And the more we are gripped by it, you'll find we become more and more steady and stable, and it gets better and better. And what I want to share with you this morning is, here it speaks about Jesus. "Behold my Son, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights." God the Father was watching Jesus here on earth, and Father was delighted with Jesus, the way He lived. And by the way, I'm not tired of saying that again and again, Jesus was a young brother. You know, it's difficult for us to imagine that Jesus, He was only 33 and a half by the time He left the earth. He was such a young brother, but God the Father says He delighted in Jesus. And Jesus, you know how He lived on earth, brothers and sisters? Proverbs 8:30. "Then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." And Father and Jesus, that's the kind of relationship they had. Father loved Jesus, and Jesus loved the Father. And because of that wonderful love relationship, you know, Jesus, when He came on earth, He gave Himself totally to the Lord. Like it says in John 17:4, or another place, "All mine is thine, and thine is mine." Oh, Jesus gave Himself totally to the Father, and the Father gave Himself totally to Jesus. And we read in John 8:29, we can see this is how Jesus lived on earth. "And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, because I always do those things that please Him." You know, sometimes when I look at different believers, I don't find they have a connection with the Lord. I don't find they're so happy to be a Christian. And I don't find their walk with the Lord is so interesting. You know, some people, they always talk of trials and difficulties, and yeah, Jesus went through the maximum trials that any human being could go through, but Jesus was not always talking about all His trials. He says, "Father has not left me alone. I always do those things that please Him." And there was such a wonderful relationship between the Father and Jesus. And you know, for example, again in John 16, verse 32. Yoda comes, he is now come, that he shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. Oh, Jesus had such a, I can say, a fantastic relationship with the Father. And I believe the Lord wants us also to live like that. I believe we should also be able to say, I am not alone. Yes, I have many trials, many difficulties, that's all ordained for me in my life. But I am not alone. The Father is with me. I can handle it. That's a good testimony, brother and sister. That we don't get so weighed down by the trials and difficulties, you know. Jesus didn't live like that. And for example, same John chapter 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. What a testimony. And I believe the Lord wants us also to live in such a way that we can demonstrate in this world, my kingdom is not of this world. This world is not my home. And in another place, Jesus said, the cup, John 18 verse 11, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? You know how Jesus lived on earth? Father has ordained everything for me. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? He had no complaint against the Father. He was not rebellious against the Father. He was not questioning the Father, why this Father for me? No. And I believe the reason why we have lots of difficulties in our lives is so many got to complain against the Lord. Husbands against the wives, wives against husbands, and against people. Why this Lord for me? And Jesus never had that question. Because he had a loving Father. He knew Father had sent him into the world to fulfill a specific purpose. He had to bring salvation to the whole world. And he had to do the will of the Father. And Jesus was focused. And that's what Jesus could say. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And I believe the more and more we are in fellowship with Jesus, brothers and sisters, we find God also wants to bring us to such a happy relationship with the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a happy relationship with the Lord since the time you got saved? You know, when I ask different people, how's it going, brother? Yeah, I can't say with many, you can say, I'm so thankful I found the Lord. I'm so thankful I have Jesus. I'm so thankful He saved me. And He's my shepherd. I know He's going to lead me on. I believe the Lord wants us to have such a happy, wonderful relationship with Him. And the more and more we have such a relationship, you'll find it's easier to handle the trials. And your walk with the Lord will get better and better and more glorious and more exciting, like they often said in Proverbs 14:14, the godly man's life is exciting. Otherwise, I feel something's wrong. If you're not so happy with the Lord, like we sing in the song, the Lord and I, we walk so close. And the closer you are to the Lord, the farther you're away from the devil, from the world, from sin. And like I often think of the Sunday school chorus used to sing, I love Him better every day, close by His side. Or the other word, I forget. I will abide. Yeah. I love Him better every day. And I believe as a church, that should be a testimony. We never claim to be a perfect church. We have never made such a claim. But we only say we want to press on. We want to gather together those who love the Lord. Those who want to put Him first in their lives. Those who want to have a happy relationship with Him. And those who want to follow Him in His footsteps and be His disciples. And and that's why it's good to constantly look at Jesus. Take a good look at my servant. See the way how Jesus walked on earth. In different circumstances, in different situations. And you'll find you're not so discouraged then. Jesus could handle it. And then you will say, God will give me grace also to handle this situation, this temptation, this circumstance. And yeah, and what I wanted to highlight also, you know, I almost forgot, in Isaiah 42 we read, it says, verse 1 again, I have put my spirit upon him. And I believe Jesus was so anointed. God was so pleased with his life. Wanting to obey the Father. Wanting to do the will of the Father. And it's written in John chapter 3 about Jesus. I like that expression so much. John chapter 3 verse 34. John was speaking about Jesus. Says verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. And this is the verse, brothers and sisters, I want to highlight this morning. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. That's a fantastic verse that we can hold on. You know, God did not give the Spirit by measure. I believe for many of us, God gives the Spirit by measure because we also give to the Lord in that measure. We're not giving ourselves totally to the Lord. And that's why God's not able to give himself totally. But Jesus gave himself so totally to the Lord. And the Lord gave the Spirit without measure. And I hope you have a longing in your heart, Lord. I want your Spirit in a greater measure, even if I can't come to this level. I want more of your Spirit on my life. And you know this expression in John chapter 2, John chapter 1, verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. What a fantastic verse. The Spirit descended and remained on Jesus. I hope we say, Lord, I want your Spirit to be on me. And I want your Spirit to remain on me. Maybe some of us, once upon a time we were baptized. Today that's all we are saying. Is the Spirit remaining on us? And will you say, Lord, I want your Spirit to remain on me, not just remain. I want your Spirit, Lord, in a greater measure. Which is about Jesus. He was full of the Spirit. Stephen was full of the Spirit. Barnabas was full of the Spirit. And I want to follow in the footsteps. And every time I read them, I say, Lord, I want that life, Lord, the fullness of the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, it's our privilege also. I believe the Lord wants to lead us to such a life. Where we are more and more filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, where we learn to walk in the Spirit, where we learn to obey the Spirit, where we can destroy the works of the flesh through the Spirit, and the result will be the fruit of the Spirit comes in a greater measure. And I believe we need to be more wholehearted and say, Lord, if you'll only give me your Spirit in a greater measure, like Jesus. And I believe the Lord wants to satisfy our hunger and thirst. He will say, Lord, I'm thirsty this morning. Come and fill my cup, Lord. Give me a taste of this life, Lord, that you walked on this earth. And you are so full of the Spirit. You went around doing good, helping people, delivering them from the power of the devil. Oh, what a way Jesus lived on earth, brothers and sisters. And maybe you say, Lord, open my eyes, Lord, to see Jesus more clearly, to be gripped more clearly. You know, the reason why you're not so gripped with Jesus is because so many other interests. That's what I've discovered in my own life. When we have so many other interests, the Lord is not such a priority. He's not so glorious. Because you've got something else. You know in your own life. What is it that's attracting you? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And just take some time to examine what is it you're thinking about often. And you know that's your treasure. I don't know, thankfully, what you're thinking about. But all of us know what is it that makes us think often about. What is it you're thinking about often in your life? Is it marriage? Is it career? Is it a job? I'm not saying I'm not against marriage. I'm not against you thinking about career. But you know something that you're preoccupied with often. And you know that's your treasure. And you discover that the Lord is not your treasure. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to raise up a group of people for whom he himself is the treasure. Oh, may the Lord be our treasure more and more. See, Apostle Paul, he followed Jesus in his footsteps. And for Apostle Paul, Jesus was his treasure. And the proof is, he was willing to give up everything else. And Apostle Paul could say, in Philippians chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Look at this man. He was in the prison and in a terrible condition. And he was not talking about all his trials and his difficulties and his problems. No, he was saying, I'm happy in the Lord. Jesus is so wonderful for me. I really want to have more fellowship with Apostle Paul. What a fantastic spirit he had. Supposing we visit one another, what is it that we talk about? Oh brother, I'm having such a tough time. I'm having so many problems. Not Apostle Paul. From the prison he could say, what is one thing I do? I want to be gripped more by Jesus. And I wish we had more people like that in the church who can say, one thing I do, this is what I want. I want to be gripped more by Jesus. Brother, show me the glory of Jesus. Like we sing often that song, let's talk about Jesus. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the more we are gripped by Jesus, the more we talk about Jesus, our fellowship also will become sweeter and richer and deeper and more glorious. And you know, I was reading the other day about Fanny Crosby. I believe they were celebrating her 92nd birthday. And she said, by the way, for those of you who don't know about Fanny Crosby, she wrote the song we sang this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus Mine. She became blind at a very young age because a doctor prescribed her wrong medicine. And she lost her sight at a very, very young age. And yet, she had no complaint against the Lord. And she told, I believe, if you find someone happier than me, please bring him to me. I'd like to shake hands with him. What a good example. 92 years old sister became blind at a young age and absolutely no complaint against the Lord. And all of us, we got good eyesight, we got good health, and I hope we got rid of all our complaints against the Lord and against one another. I hope we can also say this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, I got Jesus, the greatest treasure on earth. Oh, what foretaste of glory divine. She was gripped by Jesus. And she was so thankful for all that God gave. What a good spirit. By the way, last week there was an article in Deccan Herald. Someone has written about her. Yeah, there's a very good article about Fanny Crosby. How she was even cheerful, I believe. And how much more. He got good eyesight. The Lord is so good. I hope the Lord can find us. People can say, oh brother, God's been good to me. This is my story. I'm just going to praise the Lord. The Lord's given me all that I don't deserve. And I believe God wants to raise up such generation of brothers and sisters who can put the devil to shame, and no matter what trials the Lord leads you to, that you can say, it's okay for me, I'm okay brother. God's grace is sufficient for me. What a good spirit, brothers and sisters. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to partake more and more of such a spirit and walk with the Lord in such a happy way. And that's going to encourage you this morning. I hope your walk with the Lord will get sweeter, deeper, more glorious. And you know, we can make out some people, their walk with the Lord is so wonderful. And I like to hang around with such people who walk with the Lord. And you know, in the Old Testament, you can imagine David. In Psalm 37, long before David sinned, he had a wonderful walk with the Lord. In Psalm 37, for it is delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, if you read the Psalms, you'll find David had a fantastic relationship with the Lord. He loved the Lord, and he was praising the Lord, and he delighted in the Lord, and he delighted in God's word. You know that Psalm 1, 2. Oh, we can find David. He really delighted in God's word. God's word was his delight. I hope God's word is our delight. And I tell you, he'll be a blessed man. And that's why David could say even in Psalm 112, how blessed is the man. And I'm going to read that. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. I hope we in CFC, that we are a group of people who fear God and delight in God's commandments. And see in Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. And 16, chapter 16. Verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, fullness of joy. Oh, David understood that. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. And chapter 21, verse 6. You have made him exceeding glad in your countenance. I like to hear some testimonies like that. God's made me very, very happy with his presence. And 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I've helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. 33:1. He would say, rejoice in the Lord. Praise is fitting. And 43, verse 4. Then I will go into the altar of God, and to God my exceeding joy. David was a young brother those days. And you young brothers and sisters, I hope God will be your exceeding joy. And you know what David wrote in Psalm 69? This is my favorite verse. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox, a bullock, than as horns and hoofs. David understood. Even though in the Old Testament they were commanded to bring animals as a sacrifice, even though David offered them, David knew more than all that. God was wanting a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, which David had because of his walk with the Lord. And Psalm 149. Praise the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel, we can put, let the church rejoice in him that made him. I believe God wants us to so rejoice in him, brothers and sisters. Lord, you loved me. Lord, you saved me. And Lord, you put me in the church. And Lord, you gave me such wonderful leadership. And I believe we should go beyond David. Yeah. I believe that. You know, David and the whole covenant could come to such a life. And that's what David could understand. The Lord was more interested in obedience than sacrifice. I believe David delighted in God. He delighted in God's word. He delighted in God's people. He delighted in his days, the church, what we call the temple. Oh, he gathered so much material. God told him, you can't build the church, David. But David said, never mind, Lord, I'll give as much as I can for the temple. And not only that, one more good thing about David, 1 Samuel 19. Verse 2. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. What a challenge under the old covenant, brothers and sisters. David and Jonathan, they delighted in each other. They loved God and they loved each other. And I pray, Lord, raise up such people amongst us. Not just those who want the name of the telephone list. Not just those who want to come for a picnic or want the children to be in the Sunday school. Not just those who want some prayer for their needs. Oh, who will delight in God and who will delight in the brothers and sisters. If you come to a place where you can delight in the Lord, that's wonderful. I hope The Lord lead you there. How about delighting one another, brothers and sisters? Can you say, I'm breaking bread with his brothers and sisters. I delight in them. I rejoice in them. I wish the best for them. Lord, bless them more than me, Lord. Let them go ahead of me. How is it, brothers and sisters? Can we say, we can be David here? I want to challenge you, all of us this morning. Let's go beyond David. But at least let's get there. If you're not even coming here, then I must say it's not good. He said, we have the new covenant. David and Jonathan, there was no jealousy, there was no envy, there was no strife. Under the old covenant, there was such fellowship. They delighted in each other. And we can also test our fellowship. If your fellowship is good with a brother, you will delight in him. You will rejoice. Lord, bless my brother, Lord. Yeah, he's got a better house than me. I rejoice. I don't compare myself with his house. And he's got more gifts than me. Lord, use him powerfully and make him a greater blessing. Brothers and sisters, what a challenge we can have. And that's what David would say in Psalm 133. How good it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. David wrote the psalm. He knew the value of fellowship. Oh, there was an anointing on David. And he knew that fellowship and unity, God could bless. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to come into such a relationship with the Lord, like Jesus and like David in the Old Testament. You know? And not in a theoretical way, in a practical way. Lord, this morning, you ask yourself, how was your walk with the Lord? And how was your walk with the brothers and sisters? You know, I often think of so many who just disappear after the meeting. You know? Yes, they know, brother, the meeting is the message. Fellowship and all, we don't have time. Not David. David had time for Jonathan. They talked and talked and talked. They encouraged and strengthened and blessed each other. You know, when you value fellowship, you find time. David never said, I don't have time for Jonathan. No, they had all the time in the world for fellowship. And when you get time, you go home and read about different ones who walked with the Lord so close. You see, for example, 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in the salvation. And all of you sisters sitting here, well, you can also be like this, Hannah, in the church. Have such a walk with the Lord. My heart rejoices in the Lord. You can be such a happy sister, full of praise and thanks, having a connection with the Lord. And we have an example in the New Testament also. Mary, Luke chapter 1, 46. I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I've always been a fan of Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. In other words, Mary was a young sister. I don't even know whether Mary was 20 years old. But she had such a great walk with the Lord. I don't think Mary was gloomy and depressed. She was so happy in the Lord. And I believe the Lord wants to lead us like that. And Mary had good fellowship with Elizabeth. I was older to her. And see, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Nehemiah had a good walk with the Lord. He could say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know, brothers, this is when you are happy in the Lord, you're strong. I want to tell you that. And that's why the devil can get you depressed about some petty thing, small thing, something broke, you lost something, you didn't get a promotion, or whatever it is. Oh, if your happiness in the Lord, nothing can affect you. And you know, in Isaiah chapter 58 verse 14, there's a lovely verse here. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 14. He says, then shalt thou delight yourself in the Lord. You know why the children of Israel could not delight in the Lord? Oh, they were occupied with so many other things. They were religious. The Lord Himself was not the delight. And if you ask ourselves, this morning, is the Lord a delight? If the Lord is not a delight, you can be pretty sure that so many other things are a delight. And I want to close with this verse in Habakkuk. See what a work Habakkuk had. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. I like this verse. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Or maybe it's from 17 onwards. You say, oh brother, you don't know all the trials I'm going through. I don't think it's so bad as this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall eat no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. You know, those days, they never had jobs. It's like saying, there's no harvest. And, you know, your cattle all has gone away. There's no income. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. And I believe that's the spirit we must have. Despite all the trials, I hope you can say it. It's a good word. It. I will rejoice. Yeah, I got this problem. Yeah, but that's not so serious, brother. Yeah, I have this difficulty. Yeah, but that's not going to occupy my attention. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Join the God of my salvation. And oh, may God give us grace to live like that. Have such a walk with the Lord. Intimate walk with the Lord. Say, nothing is going to disturb me and affect me, Lord. I got you. And that's enough for me, Lord. Yeah, if I don't have this and that, and it doesn't really matter so much, that's not going to disturb my walk with you. And Lord, you've given me such wonderful brothers and sisters who love you. And what more I need? I am the luckiest man on earth. Like David. David had Jonathan. And we got more than one, brothers and sisters. I believe the Lord wants us to value fellowship. You show me those who value the fellowship of the Lord and those who value fellowship with each other. I can say that it's gone well with them. And we want such people in the church. And I believe the Lord's also looking for such people who can say, Lord, I want fellowship with you, Lord. Number one. And Lord, I also want sweet fellowship with the brothers and sisters like me. Oh, and sing that song. Fellowship, oh sweet. Fellowship in the light and in truth. Fellowship, oh sweet. And may the Lord make us a church like that. That the majority of the brothers and sisters here, I hope, will walk with the Lord and have such wonderful fellowship with each other. And you know, that's what we have stood for all these years. We have stood for a walk with the Lord, an individual, personal, hidden walk with the Lord, and a glorious fellowship with those who walk with the Lord. All the others, yeah, we are good to them. We say, hello, brother, praise the Lord, God bless you. Yeah, but more than others, we say, Lord, we want a fellowship with you to be sweeter, and we want a fellowship with each other to be glorious. And may the Lord make CFC like that. Till the Lord comes, and can I hear everybody say amen? Amen.
A very blessed word we have heard this morning. If we can take to our heart. I believe the Lord wants to fill our lives with the Spirit of Heaven. That we would learn to delight in the Lord. I was looking at that word that Brother Newton read. And in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. It's good we look at it. What we heard. We read verse 14. I want to see that it begins with then. Then you will take delight in the Lord. When? You read before that. There it speaks about the Sabbath. For the Jews it was a little Sabbath. For God's people it's a continual Sabbath. Hebrews speaks about it. We enter into a Sabbath rest. There's a rest for the people of God. There's a Sabbath that we are to live continually, not one day in the week, but 7 days, 24/7. And if we have entered into the Sabbath, there's rest in our hearts and in our spirits, and we desist, it says in the middle of that verse, from your own ways. We call the Sabbath a delight, that when we are at rest, that we can call it a delight. Like the Jews celebrated the Sabbath, they honored the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. But for us, like I said, God's people, we have the Sabbath in our hearts, in our spirits, and honor it, desisting from your own ways. I want you to see three things there. Desisting from your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. Three things. Then you will take delight in the Lord. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And what we heard this morning, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. But I can't just think, yeah, now I'm going to praise the Lord, I'm going to rejoice Him, I'm going to delight in Him. We can't work it up, my brothers and sisters. The Spirit of heaven cannot be manufactured, and we can't work it up like people try to do in Christendom today. They would try to work up the Spirit of heaven, getting people all hyped up and emotional with the songs and all that, the music and all that has to be just right, and people enter and they feel so nice, but they go out and they go home and it's different. They're shouting at one another and there's conflict, there's no peace. In the work spot, there's conflict. That's a great deception today over God's people. We are to be free from that. And if we take to heart what God says there, desist from your own ways, that I stop following my own ways, stop doing, like we heard some time back, what is right in my own eyes. I stop seeking my own pleasure. In the last days, Paul says, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that now, the church caters to that, the so-called church, which is a deception, which is Babylon, caters to giving people pleasure. But in the body of Christ, we don't seek our own pleasure. And the third thing, that we don't speak our own word. If you desist from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. So now, do you see why we don't delight in the Lord? Why it is not like that in our lives? Like I come here and I think I hear a pep talk and I go back now. It's like the Egyptians, you know, they said, no, they've gone through, there's a way through the sea, let's follow them. You know the story. You know what happened. And that's how it is today. And we can come to the church, we can hear powerful messages, think, no, I'm going to do something. You know, like like Samson and like Saul. And they rose up thinking the Lord was with them. The Lord was not with them. That's how it is today with God's people. So let's really take to heart that we will desist from following our own ways, that we will not seek our own pleasure, we will not speak our own word. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and the Lord says, I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. That is God's will, my brothers and sisters, for you and me. I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. You will be the head and not the tail. That even if I have trials and difficulties, I'll rise up because I delight in the Lord. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's take it to heart. Ask God to really make that true in our lives, that we will learn to delight in the Lord. Stop following after our own ways, doing our own will, seeking our own pleasure. And most important thing, equally important, is speaking our own word. That's why we don't delight in the Lord. We are gloomy and dull. And we can come to the meetings wanting to hear a word. And I heard yesterday that somebody who has been coming to the meetings for years here said, no, I feel so condemned. I feel so heavy. the preaching in CLC is so heavy, so it makes me condemned. Do you feel like that? Maybe the reason is this. Not the preaching. Don't find fault with the preaching. Maybe the reason is this. You are doing your own thing. You're seeking your own pleasure. You're speaking your own word. That's why you feel condemned. Now God says that. He says, I will hack you to the words of the prophets. There's a word like that, I think, in Isaiah somewhere. So, let's really seek God, my brothers and sisters. Let's be a church that's full of praise, that delights in the Lord. And we bring that spirit of heaven. We don't manufacture it. These brothers who are so dedicated song leaders here, I praise God for them. For the anointing and grace upon them. And the choir and the musicians, I believe they want to enter into the spirit of heaven. They're not just trying to impress you. There were times like that in the past. But they want to bring in the spirit of heaven. They're so committed. And I hope that we can, all of us, my brothers, and don't leave it to the choir leaders and the musicians and the choir. We bring the spirit of heaven. We tasted something of that this morning. It's a long time, like I said, have we ever praised the Lord like that? And I believe God had something to say to us through the word that He has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's take heed. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. And respond to God in our hearts. My dear brother, sister, my dear friend. We can say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I've been living a life just doing my own thing, following my own ways. I've been seeking after my own pleasure, Lord. I've not found pleasure in Your presence. It says that Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's foreign to me, Lord. I've sought my own pleasure. I want to repent of it. And I want to really repent of speaking my own word. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I want it to be different. I want to delight in You, Lord. I want to have the same spirit when You delighted and rejoiced greatly when those 70 returned. You've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent to reveal them to babes. I want to become a child all over again, Lord. Help me to humble my pride and help me that every day, 7 days a week and 24/7, I breathe the spirit of heaven, the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. I delight in You, Lord, and rejoice in You. And You'll make me ride on the heights and all the trials and circumstances. I will be above, not beneath. And Satan will be under my feet, not sitting on my head or my back. Lord Jesus, You've done that for me. And this is not a fairy tale. I want to experience it in the short time that's left. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord, this morning. We open our lives to You, Lord Jesus. Make us a praising church, a praising, rejoicing people, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes. You've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. Reveal them to those who are willing to be converted and become children, become babes. Oh, Lord Jesus, I humble myself. Make me a child, make me a babe. I want to see things that I have not seen. You said, blessed are the eyes, Your eyes that see the things that You see, and the ears that hear the things that You hear, that we hear. Many prophets and kings have desired to hear the things that we hear and see the things that we see, but they could not. And Lord, You reveal them to us. Oh, help us to see what a privileged people we are, Lord. Open our eyes, let the scales drop from our eyes. We're so occupied by doing our own thing. We're so occupied, Lord, seeking our own pleasure, speaking our own word. Please help us to repent. Fill our hearts and fill our lives with praise and joy and thanksgiving. Lord, I thank You for speaking to my own heart. I thank You. I want to enter into that spirit of heaven, not just Sunday morning, but all through my life, Lord. I wake up at night or wake up in the morning, I want to be always found praising You. Yes, Lord, pour out Your Spirit. We can't manufacture it. Pour out Your Spirit, the same Spirit who is upon You. Yes, Lord Jesus, we thank You. The Father could point You out. Behold my servant, and we behold you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, you called us to follow after you. So bless us. Make this true and real in our lives. Let not the birds of the air take from our hearts what you put in this morning. Water it and bring forth fruit in our lives. And let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen.